morning. This is Scotty Roberts from Intrepid Radio, and I have sitting with me my cohort,
Dr. John Ward.
And it is the Exodus Reality Adventure update for whatever day it is. You know what day it is, John? I've lost complete track.
I actually think it's day eight, isn't it?
I think it's day eight.
We missed day seven. Day seven was a kind of
yes.
A whoosh. Well, it was there, and then it was gone.
And it was gone. Well, we did pre-record one for day seven, and it was actually the day of our live show.
Day of our live show. So that
which is every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Or 5 a.m. Cairo time.
Yes, on KGRA Radio. And you can find it at kgraradio.com. And you can go to intrepidradio.com. And you'll find our schedule, which has sadly not been updated over the last week. So we'll catch up on that.
You're actually sounding rather pucker this morning.
Pucker?
Pucker, sir.
Pucker.
Chipper.
Yes.
Did you have a good night's sleep?
I think I did.
Did you sleep well?
I slept very well. I think I went to bed about 10:30 last night, and it felt like 2 in the morning.
I slept extremely well.
Well, you also had... you had a doctor in your bed.
I did indeed. I had the voluptuous, amazing, beautiful queen herself, Dr. Maria Nelson, who visits us on site here at Gebel El Sisila yesterday.
We were here at Gebel El Sisila, where we are still moored in front of the space of Horemheb. And if you don't know who Horemheb was, I know most of you do, but he was the last pharaoh of the 18th dynasty. And this speos, and John, a speos is carved out of... Tell them what a speos is exactly.
A speos, not speos.
Speos. Let's call the whole thing off.
It's a speos. A speos actually is Greek for rock-hewn. It's a rock-hewn...
structure.
Chapel. It's a place of worship.
It's a chapel. It's a shrine.
It's a shrine. Place of worship. It resembles the indicative T-shaped... formation. With this particular speos, we've got four main apertures and the single door in the center. It's meant to have some kind of symmetry to it, but this one, as we were talking about yesterday,
lacks the symmetry of other temples.
But that's the speos. But today we leave Gebel El Sisila.
We do.
We cast upon the Nile waters.
Yes.
And we make our way to Komombo.
Komombo. I always like that name. It sounds like something out of a fantasy novel, but it's a real place. Komombo.
The Temple of Sobek.
I'd like to have James Earl Jones say that.
Do you know what? And that's the name I've been trying to get all morning.
The
James
Exodus,
Earl Jones.
Exodus Reality yes. Adventures is departing for Komombo.
You could have Morgan Freeman then come in and do a bit of a speech.
Oh, yes.
Those two voices are phenomenal. Maybe we should have them do our voices instead.
I think they should. Who do you want to be?
I'll be Morgan Freeman.
Okay, I'll be James Earl Jones.
Isn't he dead?
No, he's still alive.
Isn't
he? He's just older.
I just thought he died.
No, he didn't die.
Oh, that's okay. No, we won't go any further. No. So, what did you learn from yesterday? From the great Maria, Dr. Maria Nelson. Call me doctor.
You call her doctor. I learned things that I've been learning from her all year long. And so I was mainly aloof, it seems, from the group. I was running around taking pictures of everybody and everything to try to document this. And because I will be here for an additional week after this trip working with you at Gebel El Sisila.
As my slave.
We don't even want to think in those terms. If I knew I was coming as a servant to John Ward... I would decline.
No, you wouldn't.
Happily.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
I'm gonna be shouting across the Gebel. Oh, Scotty, I need coffee. Hurry up, old chap, and you will run.
Right away, sir.
And you will run with teacup in hand.
I will run with teacup in hand. You may not have any coffee by the time I get there.
And you may throw the teacup at me.
May throw the teacup at me. I would bring a stunt teacup, though, because I would never break your bone china teacup. This man needs his bone china teacup. He is actually distraught one morning when he had to drink from a mug. I detest drinking from mugs. Where is my bone china teacup? So.
But the other miraculous thing that happened yesterday. What was the most miraculous thing that happened yesterday morning?
It had to be what happened to the man that has now founded the new religion.
The new religion, yes. The new cult.
The Christobians.
The Christobians. I am a follower of the Christobians.
Yes, so am I. Chris, why don't you regale the folks with what happened? I think we mentioned this in an update, but what happened to you exactly?
Regale us of this woe.
Visited a temple.
Which temple would that be?
Esna.
Esna.
Young and good.
How many days ago was that?
That was... that's a harder question. Two days.
Was that 2 days ago?
2 days.
Day before yesterday.
Yes. And got my foot stuck in a very dangerous hole.
A divot.
A hole. Very, very deep hole.
A small divot.
A deep hole. And from there, I tripped. My head was heading for a wall. I managed to stop my head hitting the wall, but forgot to pay attention to my foot. My foot cracked.
Mm-hmm. Snap, we heard.
Snapped.
We heard it reverberate around the pillars of the temple itself.
Yes.
Even the gods weep.
Yes.
No, the gods didn't weep. They cringed. They went,
ooh. Ouch. Ow. I bet that
I heard
hurt.
That.
Yeah. Went to the hospital. Had it x-rayed. The doctor says very, very bad strain. Sprain.
You are a strain.
I am a strain, but this was a sprain.
Very straining.
Yes, but this was a sprain. And put it in a cast. Says 3 weeks minimum in a cast, then see doctor and maybe longer. But don't put any weight on it at all.
Yes.
And
I thought it was broken.
Yes, it did.
I said, I've done the very similar thing, and I broke my leg about 2 inches above the ankle about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought that you had actually done the same thing.
And then I said, of course, do not mention the fact of breaking the leg.
And John said, don't mention that. He says, you're going to manifest a break. And I said, how can I manifest a break if it's actually broken? So I took the stance that I understand manifesting. I understand all of the spiritual aspect of this.
There's nothing spiritual about it.
And I...
Physics.
All right, physics. I said, physics-wise, if you're speaking physics, if he actually broke the bone, I said, it doesn't mean that manifesting anything will unbreak it. And John,
but it is unbroken.
Well, then it was never broken in the first place.
You don't know that.
Can I continue, ladies?
Oh, no, please continue.
Please continue.
Please continue, Christopher.
They put it in a plaster cast and gave me two crutches. I was carried onto the boat because I couldn't even walk with crutches.
In his pharaonic litter.
Yes, couldn't even walk with crutches. Woke up the next morning. No, sorry, in the middle of the night, I ripped the...
Were you visited in the middle of the night?
Yes.
No, I was visited in the middle of the night.
By the
weight of the plaster cast, he had his foot hanging over the bed, and somehow it must have just the counterbalance pulled him off the bed. Chris fell out of bed, and we're together in a stateroom that's rather small and tight. There's about 2 feet between the beds and walking space, and he fell off and stumbled into my bed and said, whoa, and I said, whoa.
Was this a reenactment of Brokeback Mountain, but on board a dahabir?
I can't quit you, Chris.
So you were visited or visiting during the night. And what happened next, Chris?
I had this need to take my cast off.
Yeah, baby.
As you do.
As you do, baby.
As you do. So in the middle of the night, I removed my cast.
Cast it away.
Yes.
Yes.
And went to sleep. Woke up this morning. Yesterday morning. Woke up yesterday morning, put my weight on it. And it was healed.
Well, in all fairness, by the way, the cast was not quite set. It never set
well.
So it was rubbery, and he just slid it right off.
Pulled it off.
You slid it.
Didn't slide it. I had to unravel it. It was like a mummification.
There's a lot of connotations in these words here, especially with the fact that you two were together in one bed.
Yeah. We weren't in one bed.
You fell into his bed.
I fell onto his bed.
Well, momentarily in one bed. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
There, we've got our political correctness covered for the day.
We're not Duck Dynasty.
No, we're not.
No.
We're not. No.
We're not.
So, and miraculously,
yes,
you were healed, you walked upon water for us.
And climbed, I walked in water, just...
And you were able to turn water into Nescafe, it was amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
We then climbed...
We then climbed...
Follow his cast.
We then climbed hills.
No, I follow his board.
Climbed hills, sand dunes, without a problem.
That was climbed hills and sand dunes, in case you didn't catch that.
Yeah, and running up and down stairs, and yeah, everything's perfect. So
it's
manipulating energy around about us.
It is. And that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Not Mr. Negativity that's sat next to us.
No, negative.
No.
He's broken his bone. Yes. He's going to have to have it. I knew a man who broke his ankle, and next minute it was amputated
along
with his arm.
And then he got some kind of septicemia.
As he tapped me in the leg and says, it's coming off, Chris.
It's broken,
and they
Chris.
Took the arm, too, of my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so negative.
Yeah.
Well, I was positive it happened.
Through my positive manifestation.
Actually, you can't take all the credit for this, Dr. John Walls.
And again, I don't belittle any of that really when it comes down to it. I just don't understand it well
but
enough.
But can you belittle it after seeing what happened? There's no
after
way.
After the miracle.
All joking aside, there's no way I should be walking.
There is no way. But then again, you shouldn't be talking either.
You should see it. It's dark purple.
Yeah.
All around his ankle,
almost black,
running up his leg. But he's perfectly fine.
That could be septicemia, then.
That could be. And, you know, I had a friend who lost a leg and an arm because...
It could actually be gangrene.
Yes.
Your ganky, gangrenous leg that doesn't hurt at all but can walk on it.
Yeah. Because it's numb.
You
There's
know
no
why?
Feeling.
It's because it's dead. It's just going to fall off.
Yeah. It's a bit like frostbite.
Watch your toes.
But we call it sandbite.
You can imagine spending your days with these two ladies. I call them the Andrews sisters. They always go into these little harmonious.
Well, you know,
I think it's jealousy.
In Scots terminology, there's the 42nd Royal Highlanders, the Black Watch.
Yes.
Who are called the Ladies from Hell.
Oh.
Yes.
So
that's
we're
true.
The ladies from
we're
hell.
The ladies from
for
hell.
Chris.
Yeah. For Chris.
Yes.
But we are going to worship you.
Yes,
we're going to sacrifice maybe a chicken.
So, folks, consider joining our cult, the Christobians. The Christobians.
And you get a free car bumper sticker.
Yes, and a healing of your choice.
And the healing of your choice, you just dial this number toll free, make a donation, and away you go.
Yes.
And if you have Skype, Chris will touch his camera lens, and you will be healed.
I can see. Yeah. But all seriousness, guys. We're off to Komombo. We've got a sail there from here. We're going to be on the waters for a good couple of hours. We'll reach Komombo. We're going to have a couple of hours in Komombo at our leisure with Ahmed Saeed, our inspector, and Tayeb, our Egyptological guide. And the rest of the guys will enjoy the talks and the lectures that we have there planned. We're also hoping to meet the chief inspector of Komombo and Silsila. My boss, my bigger boss, and Ahmed's boss, Mr. Abdul Minim.
So we're
hoping to meet him.
And by the way, if you want to see what we're talking about, if you just go to exodusreality.com, you can click at the very top of the page. Well, not the very top. There's a menu up there. But below the header, there's a big link that says click here to see our itinerary. And you can see the PDF version of the itinerary segment of our Exodus Reality booklet, which we gave to all our guests here. And you'll see some of the pictures of the sites and be able to read up on where we've been. And also, if you go to our Facebook sites, now I've had a little bit of trouble navigating Facebook to share some of these folders, but if you go to my personal Facebook, you will see all the albums so far from all the things we've done. You can see pictures of the trip so far. They are copied over, I believe, to our page, facebook.com/Exodus Reality Adventures. And if they're not there when we're done with this broadcast, I will make sure that that is visible over there. And avail yourself of the pictures and see what we've been doing here.
And then after Komombo, it's onwards again to Aswan. The most quietest, sleepiest backwater. You're gonna love it. It's so laid down. It's asleep.
Looking forward to it.
And it's one of the most beautiful parts of Egypt. Actually.
Wow.
Aswan. All joking aside, you've got the islands that sit in the middle of the Nile. It's a cataract, and so it's a dreamy place. And we've got other inspectors lined up at Aswan. We've got Mr. Adel Kalani, who's in charge of the granite
quarries.
Sounds
so Irish. Mr. Abu Kalani.
Mr. Abu Kalani. But no, he's not Irish. but he's going to be showing us personally around the granite quarries of Aswan and showing us the Great Obelisk and also going through some of his theories that he's been working on for many years, which actually I believe have some efficacy behind them. Which, well, I won't say any more on that. I want you guys to see that firsthand.
All right.
We've got the Island of Philae.
Yes, Elephantine.
Elephantine. And we have a surprise.
Oh.
A surprise down there. And if you're not here on the trip, you won't get to experience that. You'll just hear about it afterwards.
The surprise, I will give you a little heads up here. It has four legs.
And it is John's lover.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Florence will not be there.
Oh, he names Florence. Florence the camel.
He does miss her.
But we are, all jokes aside, we're gonna take camels over the sand dunes of the West Bank.
Well,
and we're going at late afternoon, so we benefit from the sunset over the Theban Mountains, over the western escarpment there, as we visit the ruins of St. Simeon, which is a beautiful Coptic monastery, built on pharaonic foundations. And you can see all the pharaonic stone actually embedded in the mud brick. There's a few tombs in the area, but also what's more important is one of the monasteries that was destroyed by Salah ad-Din during the Crusades, in retribution for the Christians marauding the Muslims in Lower Egypt, and he destroyed this monastery. But it's still intact to a certain extent, and it is absolutely amazing architecture.
Wow.
Just as when you're in there, you'll see that it's all made of mud brick, but you've got the herringbone floors, you've got these ornate arches, it's vaulted rooms, and all made out of mud brick. It's absolutely stunning. It really is. And the iconography there is all painted iconography, which is just beautiful. And that again is something. But I'd like to say a little bit about Philae. I didn't know if you're aware of this, Chris and Scotty. Is that when do you think Philae closed as a paganistic temple of worship? When do you think it closed?
Oh, I have no idea when it closed as a pagan temple. It would have to have been during the Coptic Christian period, I would think.
Well, when do you think it stopped? When do you think it's a temple to ISIS?
1,700 years ago, perhaps.
When do you think it stopped? When was the last ancient Egyptian 500, ceremony?
500 years ago.
I won't even venture to guess. I would say it was about 1,700 years ago.
I would say 500.
Unless it's been one of the most ongoing pagan sites. And may not even be closed today.
Yeah, fine.
Well, there is a certain aspect of it that it isn't closed as a place of worship. But no, it was the last temple in Egypt to be closed as a pagan place of worship.
How long ago?
750 AD.
Oh, so I was closer.
Wow, you were closer.
So you owe me a camel.
There
I owe you a camel.
Roughly.
John, because John won't share Florence.
He doesn't share Florence, and he gets very jealous.
I'm trying to be serious here. You guys are talking about camels and innuendos.
Yeah, he gets very jealous, doesn't he, if you go near...
You look speechless.
We won't even talk about innuendo.
No.
Anyway.
Yes.
They used Philae to convert the pagans to Christianity by converting the gods and goddesses of the ancient Egyptian religion into representations and characters from the biblical text.
Isn't that, though, what we find throughout history?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even in, let's say, the British Isles.
Yeah.
You found a lot of the Druid high groves of worship were chopped and burned down, and cathedrals and chapels built on those sites. Isn't one of the big... what's the big French... Rennes le Château. I believe, was that not Berenger? Built on an old pagan site?
It was
site?
Indeed, yes.
Celtic pagan site.
But the interesting thing is, the pagan sites that they tried to destroy in the UK, even though they're ruins, they're still being used
still
to this
being
day
used today pagan.
For pagan worship.
Right.
Is that the same case in Egypt?
Is that what you call Christianity?
Ooh. Oh, no.
No.
But is that the case in Egypt?
That's what I'm asking.
When you actually look at the what we call them here, kinesas, churches are kinesas, and the mosques, you'll see. And it's a shame we didn't get to visit the mosque in Cairo, in old Babylon, where you go in and you've got all these Romanesque pillars in there, and they've actually got the. So first of all, they were Roman. Mm-hmm. Then the Christians come along and they put their Christian crosses on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were integrated into the mosque. So you've got these Roman Christian emblemed pillars in a Muslim mosque. And I think that's quite nice. It shows a continuation of religion and worship
Yeah.
You know, and I think
but,
that...
Sorry, Scott, but do the Egypt, because the point I was making there, the British still, certain people amongst us still practice pagan ceremonies.
Yes.
Do Egyptian people still use these pagan sites for pagan worship, though it's gone?
Well, actually, it's quite a serious question, but yeah. The only thing I know of, and I've participated in myself,
yeah.
is the well, or the as they like to call it, the Nilometer, which we've discussed before.
Yes.
And you've actually been in there.
Been in it.
The Nilometer of Nektanebo, Medina Habu, which you will see, Chris, when we get to Luxor, where the waters, the clear waters of that well, are taken and used in a kind of baptismal ceremony on newborns, be that Muslim or be that Coptic. I myself performed a baptism on my last child, Jojo, and I took her down the steps and I splashed the waters upon her. And the lake next to that, the ancient sacred lake to that, which is really just a green gunge.
But
the local legend has it that if you bathe in those waters,
you will certainly lose a limb.
it is supposed to be an aid to fertility.
Ah.
Maybe you should bathe in there, Scotty.
Yes, I need a sixth child.
Yes. And I need a seventh.
So. I'm not even going to say anymore now.
probably not the best two
As
people.
As Solomon said in the Proverbs, happy is the man who has many children, or a child is like an arrow or something like that, and happy is the man whose quiver is full of them.
Oh, that's quite poetic.
Yeah.
That's
easy to say when you're a king, though, and have 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Yes.
Now, the other thing about Philae, which I just want to bring up, because we're at 21 minutes of our segment, is that when you're there, do remember that it is not the original location.
Oh, they've moved this. That's right.
The entire site was moved.
Ah.
Only a few hundred meters. And you'll see the original site when you're there. You'll be able to...
That's not underwater now?
No.
Oh.
It just pops up. The girders, all the iron girders that were there to stop the waters from coming in while they were trying to remove it, they're visible to this day. But you'll be able to see where it came from, and you can see... Wow.
Is that for preservation purposes?
Yep, that was the UNESCO
That was
only
project. Aswan Dam was open.
Yeah. All right, okay.
And many of the sites were removed, like the one at the Met,
Apisimbal,
which is the largest operation, but also Philae. The whole of Philae was removed in its entirety.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. The only downside, the only shame about it is that we've lost the mud brick structures that were built around it, which were part of the Coptic Christian conversion of the temple. And those were still, of course, on site before the dam came along.
Yeah.
But those rising waters, unfortunately, have taken those. And they didn't remove those and rebuild them on site. Mm. They felt that it detracted from the original temple itself. So what we have today is the original temple in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just bear that in mind when you're there.
Yeah.
It's
quite beautiful. Talking about all of this rebuilding, though, it was... I was going to say a little earlier, it's interesting how when you look at the Old Testament scriptures now, you can get an understanding when you start to and I never understood this when I was a kid in learning these things. God's command from his prophets was to always go into these heathens and the pagan sites of worship and tear them down and kill every last one of them and don't leave a single stone standing on top of another.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yet you find in all throughout history... Now that was whatever you believe about the theological implications of all of that, or the efficacy of that theologically. That was a command to commit genocide in certain areas.
Yes, it was
a command to wipe out a nation's culture. You wonder: is that a God on a theological basis? You would have to wonder: is that God who gives a decree like that, or is that man's interpretation?
I think that's man's interpretation.
I do as well, because really, what makes that any different than, say, like the Muslim Brotherhood that would like to blow up the Sphinx and the pyramids because it represents to them pagan religion? So you can say, I understand their religious point of view if you step out of the box and look back and say, even if I'm Judeo-Christian, the same kind of thing was ordered by the prophets of God back then. And so then, but then you see in Christianity, even, where they've adapted the pagan deities.
It's all been incorporated and assimilated.
Yeah. The goddess has been turned into the Virgin Mary. And all of these types of things that you see, from from site locations to adaptations of holidays. You know, the most outstanding one, of course, being Christmas or Yule.
That's right, yeah.
Has been converted into a Christian practice and a holiday. And so all of these things, and I know I'm backtracking a little on our conversation, but I think it's worth saying that when you step back a bit, weigh things out and look at what it is you believe and what you know, because sometimes those things that you think you know are man-imposed as opposed to... Deity or divinely imposed.
Yeah.
And you have to make your choice on what you're going to believe and what you believe with your heart.
Because if I'm right, they only used those days and deities to make it easier for the pagans to step forward.
It also allows them to have identification.
Yes.
And so you're not lost in the crowd as it gains momentum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so who knows?
Political.
Who knows exactly how that all works anymore. So that's for another time and another much deeper philosophical discussion.
So what else we got going? We've got Aswan.
You know what I'd like to do for the last two minutes? Let's pick up our feet.
Well,
gentlemen, pick up your feet.
I pick up our feet.
Yes.
And can I bring my coffee?
Bring your coffee with you. We're going to walk across deck here and sit ourselves down in front of some people.
I think we should grab Susan.
Yes.
Where is Susan?
Oh,
she's running away. She's running away. And there's Julie running away.
We just lost all our guests.
Oh, and there's
Gail.
There's Gail. All we want to ask is, what has been the highlight of this trip for you? Julie, you can just shout it out from over there. What's been your highlight of this trip so far?
Just shout it out.
Getting to see the places that you don't get to see on a normal tour with...
There it is.
A normal tour company.
You were going to say normal people, weren't you?
With normal people.
Yes.
Choosing my words.
Brenda, for you, what has been the highlight of this trip so far? We're about halfway through.
Yes. Having such interesting tour...
She's pointing at John and not sure what to call him.
Whatever you would call John. Having the knowledge of someone like John.
Thank you very much, Brenda.
Yes. Oh, dear. I'm going to never live that one down now. He's going to, see, I have the knowledge.
Yes.
So, there we go. Thank you, Brenda. Here's Bryn. Bryn, what has been the highlight for you so far in this trip?
I would say probably the same as kind of what Julie said. I think it'd be really hard to do this trip without the guides that we've had.
Yes.
And the people that have accompanied us with all their various knowledge, and all the places, that we've gotten to go that other tours.
And I would say with John's connections here archaeologically, it's been amazing, the government officials that we've been able to talk to, and the inspectors and the doctors and the people that know what they're talking about. And here's Susan. Oh, I've backed into Susan.
Ooh.
Susan, what's been the highlight for you?
Oh, it's all been a highlight, but I have to say, coming down from Serabit El Kadim would have to be my
scaling
most
the
amazing.
Cliffs.
And Susan,
yes?
May I ask you, who was it who held your hand?
Oh, I had plenty of people to hold my hand.
But who specifically?
Okay, look at my shoes. He kept saying, don't look down, look at my shoes.
And that would be...
John, who suffers from vertigo, was holding her hand all the way down. And Gail, what was your highlight so far this trip?
The pyramids.
There you go, the pyramids. Did you enjoy, you got up inside the king's chamber,
right? Yes, I did.
What was that like for you?
Well, it was difficult getting up there, but it was awe-inspiring.
Yes. I think that's the thing about everything we've seen so far. Oh, what about the light show at the Temple of Horus?
Absolutely fabulous. It was awesome, and I've never seen anything like that.
And I haven't either. That was amazing. Thanks, Gail.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, this is about the end of today's daily update, and I'm going to walk over here and, without dropping my laptop into the Nile, lean on the rail with John. And, John?
Yes, sir.
I think this is going to be a good day. We have the sun
just coming down on us now. It's going to be an absolutely gorgeous day, but we do have a slight hiccup.
What is our hiccup?
I've just been informed that the tugboat has a mechanical problem.
Oh. See, now we have a tugboat because without strong wind going against the current, to the south of Egypt is a little difficult.
So we may actually have to hoist the sails.
Hoist. Arr, climb the mast, John. Hoist
Get
the mainsail.
Get to the mizzen. But I can't, sir, because it's...
It's mizzen.
Oh, the oldest ones are the best.
All right, folks, we will talk to you again tomorrow at the same time with our update. Thanks for listening. This is Scotty Roberts.
And this is Dr. John Ward.
With Intrepid Radio right here on KGRA and the Exodus Reality Update. Go check us out at www.intrepidradio.com and exodusreality.com.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.